This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today. So glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Well, today we're going to talk about making life count, about making wise choices. And, you know, walking with wise people has a lot to do with that. Our guests today are Dan Britton and Jimmy Page, co-authors of an incredibly beautiful book, Wisdom Walks, 40 Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. And let me tell you, I've never held in my hands a more beautiful book. I mean, the content is great, but that cover is just breathtaking. So I want to tell you a little bit about our guests, and we're going to get right into the content of the book. Dan Britton serves as Fellowship of Christian Athletes Executive Vice President of Ministry Programs at the National Support Center in Kansas City. He's been on the FCA staff since 1991, serving for 13 years in Virginia. Dan oversees a ministry advancement, including camps, coaches, ministry, campus ministry, community ministry, and international ministry, and inner city ministry, and training and resource development. So he's not very busy. Jimmy Page serves as Vice President of Field Ministry and the National Director of Health and Fitness Ministry for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He currently hosts a daily radio segment and national podcast on iTunes called Fit Life Today, offering a blend of spiritual, mental, and physical health principles that promote abundant life. Boy, welcome you guys, and so glad to have you.
It is great to be here, Susie.
I told you this before the show, but this book is so beautiful. And I'm telling you, listeners, pick up the book because the content is great. But if you're one of those people who buys a book and doesn't ever open it, you want this on your coffee table. It's great. So before we get into the content of the book, though, we love to always start out the show with hearing from our guests a life verse or scripture, or even right now, that's speaking to you. Dan, let's just start with you. What about you? What's a verse that's really speaking to you right now?
Well, Susie, I tell you, the verse that even really prompted us to do this book is Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise will become wise, but the person that walks with fools will stumble. And we just realized that we experienced relationship the last 20 years, an accountability relationship, doing life together, kind of shoulder to shoulder, and we're fellow warriors and helping each other stay pure and pursue righteousness and make sure our families are on target. And so this verse, he who wants to be wise must walk with the wise. And we've realized we never each looked at each other as wise, but together studying God's word, pursuing the things of God, we became wise in God's word.
That's wonderful. Jimmy, would you say that same one, or is there another verse that's jumping out to you these days?
Well, the big one for me is 1 John 2:6. It says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And, you know, we want to be, I don't know, we use this phrase, but we want to be the real deal. You know, mm-hmm. we want what you see to be what you get. And what we say needs to be consistent with what we believe in. And if we claim to be Christians and we put that name on our jersey and we say, hey, we play for Jesus, we live for Jesus, then, man, we've got to walk like Jesus did. And so as we pursue this through this book is all about walking with Jesus. And then, as Dan said, you know, linking arms and doing life together in relationships so that we all finish strong.
I love that. Well, you know, what I loved about your book is that it really does imply growth, that walking with God brings us from strength to strength, from glory to glory. And just this morning, my youngest son is 20, and we were sitting under the deck and had my devotional open, talking to him and saying, you know what, it's like that seed in you, but it grows and it becomes something where it affects change in your life, where pretty soon it's not, I don't watch those kind of movies. You're saying, I can't watch those kind of movies because the life of God is so much bigger in me. And I love that because you're really, you know, assuming we're in this, you know, we've got to do this and we're going to grow and we're going to change as a result. And it was really real and gritty to me. I love that.
Yeah, that's good. I tell you, you know, that's the same way with us is, you know, you could try to do life on your own and be isolated. And I always say that isolation is a silent enemy basically destroys people, and they get set up and they think they can do life on their own, and next thing you know, they run into something, and there's no one there to help them up, as Ecclesiastes 4 talks about, pity the man that falls and has no one to help them up. And so as Jimmy and I have been doing life and helping each other out for the last 20 years, we've realized that there's power in that. And we can't afford not to do life together. We can't afford not to lock up and arm up. And so that's what we've seen.
Well, it's so great because you're supporting one another, but if one of you falls, the other one is there not only to hold them up, but if one is straying, then you're in his face. What are you doing? And if you're isolated, you could so drop off the radar without anybody noticing.
Oh, yeah, we've had those moments of, you know, grill to grill, like, hey, you know, what are you doing? You know, grabbing the face mask, if you will, of the football helmet. It's like, hey, you know, this, you're out of bounds. And, you know, part of this is being able to not only see seeds of greatness in somebody, because sometimes, you know, I'll look at Dan and I'll see just incredible potential that God has planted in him. And sometimes identifying that spurs him on to greater things. And then on the converse, like you just said, hey, if we see things, you know, it's like holding up that mirror and you say, hey, listen, some things are out of bounds and I want to bring this to your attention in a serious way so that you can deal with it so that we don't, you know, get hindered by stupid sins, if you will.
And that really is so much. It takes humility, I think. Somebody once said you cannot grow beyond your ability to receive correction. And so we got to submit ourselves to one another so we can grow. And, well, I have so many things I want to talk to you about, but I really want to get into your faith journey before we get into the content of the book. Can you each share? I'm sure you probably were raised in a Christian home, but even I want to know that, but even if not, but I also want to know the turning point when your faith became your own. So tell me a little bit about your history, but then what was that turning point when that faith became your own?
Well, I tell you, for me, I grew up in a Christian home. We had a great Christian mom and dad who brought us up in church, and I had two older brothers. I was the baby of the family and three boys in the family. We played football, basketball, lacrosse. My dad was an all-American lacrosse player at the Naval Academy. We grew up in a real intense, fired up home, a lot of passion. We love Jesus. We love sports. We love to do life together and a really close-knit family. And when I was 8 years old, my mom was doing a Good News Bible Club for the neighborhood kids. And here's her little son, Danny, was sitting there in this little Bible study that she was doing for the neighborhood kids to come to Christ and flannel graphs and the whole bit that now kids don't even know what they are. And so as she was doing her flannel graph, little Bible stories, she presented the gospel message and I accepted Christ right there. And I said, Mom, that night, I said, I know you were trying to, you know, see neighbor kids come to Christ, but, you know, I made a decision tonight. Well, it wasn't until I was 14, you know, at 8, you're trying to put it all together. You probably say the prayer 1,000 times just in case. And I was 14, went away to a camp with our church. And at that camp up in New York, we drove a 12-hour bus drive to get there. Bus only broke down twice. When we finally got there, I realized the last night, big, huge night, big bonfire, God was saying, Dan, that little decision, that little prayer you said was so significant that I want you to live for me 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And I remember vividly, Susie, they handed us a wood chip as we stood around this bonfire, the people that came forward, and they said, we want you to throw the wood chip in the fire because it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ lives inside of you. And I threw that wood chip in the fire, and I said, God, I'm surrendering my life over to you. And from this day forward, I'm going to live for you, no matter what.
I love
that. That was a radical decision of surrendering that from that point on, God has just gotten a hold of my life.
Wow, that is just incredible. And Jimmy, I want to hear your story. We need to take a short break. So on the other side, we're going to hear Jimmy's faith journey story. But oh, that just makes my heart beat faster. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Hey, if you just tuned in, I'm so glad you're here. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And we are talking to two young godly men. Well, I don't know how young they are. They sound young to me. But about their great book, Wisdom Walks, 40 Life Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. On the other side of the break, we're going to hear from Jimmy Page and his faith journey. We're going to get into the content of this very great book, Wisdom Walks, 40 Life Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. Really want you to pick up this book. Hey, we'll be back in just a moment.
The Northwestern College Academy of Music holds all kinds of exploration for your kids in the wonderful world of music. Choose from a variety of summer music camps, including chamber groups, jazz, show choir, and more. Register today at nwc.edu.
Welcome back. back. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We're having a great talk today with Jimmy Page and Dan Britton. And we're talking about their great book, Wisdom Walks, 40 Life Principles for a Significant, Meaningful Journey. And this book, really, you could be using it as a mentorship program, a study, or just individual study. I really love it. We're going to get into the content in just a minute. But we want to hear Jimmy's faith journey story. Would you share it with us, Jimmy?
Yeah, Susie, I'll tell you. You know, I would say that I grew up as a very religious, moral kid. You know, I was a good kid. I went to church with my mom and my siblings growing up, and I would describe my early days as, you know, I was earning God's favor. I was the good kid. I you know, did the right things and tried to keep, you know, kind of to some moral standard. And I was really superstitious. You know, on the athletic field, I would make the sign of the cross. And I don't know if I viewed God as somebody that, boy, if I was good enough, then he would bless me. But I think that was part of the equation that I had created when I was a, you know, a young boy. And it wasn't until college when I went away to Virginia Tech and got on campus, and God in his providence surrounded me in my dorm with a handful of wisdom walkers, of guys that just loved Jesus and were walking it out. And you know, we would have these late night discussions, and I thought I was part of the club. You know, I thought I was in. I could hang with these guys. And then what I realized that they were talking about relationship. And their walk with God seemed far more personal and intimate than the one I had, which was based on, you know, do's and don'ts. And I discovered that my religious approach was lacking the relationship. And through the influence of these wisdom walkers, these guys that were walking with God, and I watched their life day in and day out, and I said, hey, I want to know that what they're saying is true, you know, that they're the real thing. And over time, I got to see that the integrity of their life matched up with what they said, and I realized that it wasn't about me doing, but it was about what Jesus had done for me. And that's when I received, you know, the gift of eternal life and surrendered my life, as Dan said in his story, and from there began to walk with God. And then God used the ministry of FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, to really be a catalyst in my life for spiritual growth on campus. And then Dan and I, you know, hooked up shortly after that.
Wow, Jimmy, yours is really the epitome of the verse, you know, he who walks with the wise will become wise. I mean, you know, don't you feel like your story is almost the poster child for this book? Because it's almost scary at times when you have really competent people who are able to really abide by a code of ethics and rules with the absence of a relationship, because you can go a long way with that.
Oh, yeah. And this whole thing is really, it's a love story. I mean, the Bible is a love story about, you know, God's great love for us and his desire to be in right relationship with us. And that if we would just give up our own agenda and surrender to his, boy, this thing, it really does change. And for God to use godly people around me and then to hook me up with Dan in a powerful way of accountability after college, you're right. It was all about that relational push. And I can, without question, Dan's verse, Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise. There is no question that you are spurred on to a deeper relationship with Jesus.
Well, I really appreciated your how you titled your introduction, It's Time to Engage, Make Your Life Count. And, you know, I got to say, if there's one thing that grieves my heart in the body of Christ almost more than anything else is the amount of passivity that gets mistaken actually for some kind of virtue like meekness. And yet passivity robs us blind. And, you know, I've told my sons many occasions, they're grown now, but that passivity is like giving up your birthright for a bowl of soup. You know, the passive person gives up a treasure, you know, a lifelong treasure for the immediate comfort of having to avoid a momentary discomfort. You know what I'm saying? And so the whole idea of it's time to engage, I just want you to talk a little bit more about that, because that, you know, implies initiative, right?
Yeah, sure does. We you know, kind of our subtitle under the whole concept of Wisdom Walks is these three statements: live intentionally, maximize relationships, and pass the torch. And that pretty much sums up Jimmy and I's life. We are very intentional. If our middle name could be changed, it would be intentionality, because we believe with intentionality, God loves when we surrender over to him. We become a channel for God's blessing when we surrender. But surrender takes an active will to be able to engage God. And so being in ministry, both Jimmy and I serving in a leadership capacity within FCA that allows us to serve literally millions of coaches and athletes, we keep seeing two sides. We see one side that are really rising up, becoming lions for God, bold as lions, as Proverbs 28:1 says, and as they pursue righteousness. And on the other side, we just see people that are passive. Mm. They're not engaged. You know, they said they raised their hand or made a commitment to Christ at one point, and they're not changing their family. There's no transformation at all. And so this whole book is about, will you be intentional of tapping someone on the shoulder, someone that you see greatness in, and you're willing to say, I believe in you enough that I want to invest and pour out what God has poured into me, and I want to invest in your life, and I believe that through our relationship, walking together, doing wisdom walks together, that I have a role to be able to impart wisdom, and share a piece of my life with, then there's intentionality built into our faith in Christ. And the thing that we say, kind of our little formula that Jimmy and I have played around with over the last several months and kind of crystallized this, is that wisdom minus relationships equals nothing. Mm. Wisdom minus relationships equals nothing, because we realize that you can have all the wisdom in the world, you can have all of God's truth in the world, but if it's not put into a relational context, it means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and for the longest time, Susie, you know, I think the church has become complacent, and we're content to go to our Bible studies and go to our, you know, men's groups and ladies' groups and coffees and teas and all the rest of this stuff. And we never then take that as a charge and go out into the mission field and say, man, what relationships has God put in my life that I need to be intentional about and make a difference in? So we get smarter and smarter, but we never put it, you know, we put all these tools in our bag and we never use the tools.
That's really powerful. Hey, if you just tuned in today, I'm so glad you joined us. First of all, this is Live the Promise, and I'm Susie Larson, talking today to Dan Britton and Jimmy Page about their great book, Wisdom Walks. You know, guys, I was thinking as you're talking about when I was, I became a Christian in eighth grade, and just because of the particular denomination I was a part of, I actually had to sneak to Bible studies and lie about it, but that's for a whole other show.
And underground.
It was underground, and I soon figured out, of course, lying about it wasn't a good thing. But anyway, you know, I was really excited about the Lord, but I didn't have a ton of support. But in that place, the Bible study leader was just an amazing man. He and his wife opened their home to me. And, you know, I had had this hidden secret. I'd been sexually abused as a young girl at the hand of teenage boys. And this Bible study leader spotted that in me and just took me under his wing and started to mentor me. And I started to grow like crazy. Well, I got into college and was dating this guy that just wasn't God's best for me. And my faith started to wane. And I remember meeting with this Bible study leader, and he said, you have more talent in your pinky than most that I see in their whole bodies. But he said, if you continue to pour your and waste your time with this guy, I am not going to keep pouring my time into you. So him or me? And I said, you. And it changed everything for me.
Yeah.
And right at that time, I had these identical twin girls in my one of my classes in college, and they'd start to see the sparkle in my eye, and they said, what is it about you? And I said, Jesus, just Jesus. And I led them to Christ and started to disciple them. And I can't even tell you what that did for my faith. By, you know, what you're talking about is engaging someone else, but it does something for us too, doesn't it? I mean, I never turned back from that place. I've been passionate ever since.
Oh, yeah. When you start to teach something, first of all, you have built-in accountability, because if you're going to teach it, you've got to be living it. There,
mm-hmm.
There can't be a gap between me teaching you to do something or live a certain way and I'm not doing it. So I immediately get that built-in accountability. But plus, you learn and grow so much more when you're bringing God's truth or the truth of the Bible to another person. You're studying. You know, you're wrestling with the Word, because you've got to give them, you know, the truth from the Word. It's got to be accurate. And I think you grow more when you teach.
Amen.
Well, it's got to be fresh.
It's
got to be fresh.
Exactly. That's great. Well, I love this quote from your book regarding that it's time to engage and just that whole passivity that we can so default to. You say here, it's all too easy to gravitate towards shutdown mode when life gets crazy. But life never slows down. It gets more hectic and complicated every day. In the midst of this busyness, we lose our ability to live purposefully. It's like we're constantly playing defense, reacting to life instead of creating meaning in it. So instead of doing something, we unplug, we sit on the sidelines, and we watch life happen. So I'm curious, were you two born with initiative, or did it develop in you over time? I know, was it you, Jimmy, that talked about, no, was it Dan? See, I cannot tell. This is one of those things with radio. But one of you said you were raised in an intense sports Christian home. I think that was you, Dan, right?
It was.
Yeah.
So I had intentionality beat into me as a young child.
Okay.
Right. I didn't have an option.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to be intentional. Whether
and
you
you're
like
going to love it, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I think it was interesting. I do think that some people have a little bit more intentionality than other people. But I think God has wired us all to be intentional. I just think it's not a question of personality. It's not a question of what your gifts are. It's you have to be intentional when you're talking about your faith and living out life.
And yes. That kind of comes out of walking with wise people, because that's where the sharpening comes, right?
Sure does.
And, you know, the rest of that story is, you know, part of what spawned this book was this. We believe that most people want to engage, but they feel incapable of it, like they don't have enough Bible knowledge. They feel like they don't know where to start. There's not a manual written on this thing. I mean, parents, you know, gosh, can you imagine if there was a manual written for parenting? I mean, we try. But, you know, most people are so intimidated by, you know, initiating and engaging and passing on their faith. They just don't know what to do. So we said, hey, listen, we're going to give them an in-the-trenches field manual for exactly what to do. There's no more guesswork. There's no more intimidation. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. But, man, when you get into these pages, you're going to have enough great inspiration and great Bible truth that you can go as deep as you want. But really, the relationship is where it all happens.
Well, this is just great. I talked to the 20-year-old guy, okay? He's born and raised in a Christian home and has a core love for God, but he's sort of settled into his relationships, which don't sharpen him. And there's really not a prospect of someone who would mentor him. But, he needs to take initiative. What should he do?
Well, honestly, the best thing that he can do is use this resource as his own personal spiritual journey. It's a guidebook for him. You know, it's the type of thing where I take this thing, and if I use this as my own personal spiritual disciplines right here and went through these 40 chapters, these 40 life principles, and just poured over those and let God refine me. Because in each one of these, you know, you have a story, you have scripture, and then there's specific challenges and applications. So at the end of it, you leave each chapter with kind of almost like the light shining on you, saying, all right, Lord, illuminate my life. You know, show me what needs to change. Let's take a look at this, and you leave with an action item. So if I'm struggling and I don't have any support around me, this book will give you the direction that you need.
Not only would we encourage a 20-year-old to pursue Christ on their own by using this as a devotional, which it can be, but it's best used with someone else. And so I would... It's two ways. We kind of thought through this and said, okay, I'm a 20-year-old. I'm kind of stuck. I'm not growing. Grew up in a Christian home. I kind of know what I should be doing. I don't have any oomph to do something. It could either be that someone reaches down and taps them on the shoulder. And I tell you, there's so many 20s and 30-something men and women that we've run into through the ministry that are just dying for someone in their 40s and 50s to tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, I want to walk alongside of you and help you. I want to be on the watchtower looking out and providing some wisdom. I want to be a forerunner for you to encourage you in your walk in faith. And unfortunately, the 40 and 50 and 60-year-olds, they're not looking down and seeing the 20 and 30s that need that encouragement and need that walk. So that's the first thing, is that someone could actually pursue that person. But also I would say that 20-something, they should go and tap someone on the shoulder and say, I've seen Jesus all over your life, and you're in your 40s and 50s, and your family appears to be together, and there's things that you're doing that other people aren't doing. I want you to engage me. I want to walk with you, and I want to meet with you once a week, once every couple weeks, just over a cup of coffee, so I can start learning what you're doing so I could be able to benefit from that.
Well, I love that your first chapter is about walking with the wise, because that's really the essence of the book. But can you think of somebody in your life? Of course, you probably can think of many, but maybe someone that stands out to you. Like for me, it was that Bible study leader that really impacted you with the way that they lived their lives and inspired you to reach for better things.
Well, when I was in a youth group, I remember this guy was a volunteer with the youth group, and he would probably be not a guy that I would say I would go and tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, I want you to come mentor me. But Craig just showed up in my house and said, hey, you're playing football, I want to work you out. And every week, once a week, he would come over, he would put me through, I think he was back home making up drills and stuff, and he would make up drills, and I'd be working out, sweating, and he would share encouraging stories with me. And I remember going back inside the house, sitting at the kitchen table. My mom would get us some water, leave the room, and then Craig would begin to just ask me some of the tough questions and share life with me. And that gave me an image of what it meant of mentoring and discipling. I didn't even know what he was doing. I just thought he was lonely and wanted to come teach me some football drills. But I realized later that his life invested in me had great promise for the future.
Wow, that's great. Is that Dan or is that Jimmy?
That was Dan.
Oh, Dan, that was excellent. Jimmy, how about you?
Well, you know, part of my faith journey was centered around the relationships, you know, the people that God surrounded me with. You know, my college roommate was one of those things that, you know, that he poured into my life intentionally. What I find today is that there's so few people that in the everyday conversation are willing to engage in deep conversation. In fact, you'll notice that when you start talking about things that are spiritual, it usually scatters the room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it feels like there's a huge black hole there, but that's why it's even more important that people are using a resource like this. You'll notice in here, it's common everyday language. We pick out images, you know, like rumble strips and guardrails and, you know, these issues of picking your friends wisely. You know, your friends will make or break you. We're dealing with in the trenches real life stuff here so that you can talk about this in any circle and have influence.
Love that. Well, we need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jimmy and Dan about walking with the wise. And you had a little equation here. Walk with the wise equals gets wiser. Follow foolish friends, get into trouble. We're going to unpack that even a little bit. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We're taking a short break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and we're having a great discussion today with Jimmy Page, Dan Britton on a great book, Wisdom Walks, 40 Life Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. And I don't say this about every book, every author I interview, but I want you to get this book. I really do. It's beautiful, and the content is very rich. And guys, what I really do love about these chapters is they're short, but they're deep, and they're doable. And I think in this fast-paced culture, that is just so necessary. I could tell you very intentionally, speaking of intentional living, made these very doable, didn't you?
Yeah, we were basically trying to set people up. And what I mean by that is they're so doable and they're short and sweet. But what we found is when people get into it, it allows for greater discussion. It's not something that you can just package up and go, okay, I'm just going to spend 5 minutes going through this. But what we found is almost like a starter for them to be able to begin an intimate relationship and communication.
Well, I think it's so important and such a timely book because, as you mentioned before the break, that it seems there's two camps in the Christian faith right now, and I'm really seeing this in young people. As you said, one group are just running hard after the Lord, and the other, there seems to be a stupor over them where they are completely, what's the word, inoculated to the times. They have no sense of urgency for the times or their souls or the fact that they're called to be making an impact in this day. And this is why I love this book, is it really, in a doable way, engages us to that active walk of faith.
Yeah, it does. I tell you, the times are getting tough. And, mm-hmm. and what I always say to young people when I have a chance to share with them in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is that the darkness is getting darker, but the good news is when the darkness gets darker, the light gets brighter.
Amen.
And that's why we've had this kind of separation that we're seeing these two sides, these two camps, that there's some kids that are living it. I mean, they're in the schools, they're on their teams, they're sharing Christ, they're making a difference, they're worshiping God, they're longing, yearning for the courts of the Lord. Their flesh and their heart cries out for God Almighty, for the living God. And when you see that, it just sparks you. It motivates you. But on the other hand, there's so many young people. Now they're saying up to 70% of Christian kids, church kids, will not even be in the church, not when they go to college, but before they leave for college. We're having a 70% failure rate right now within our youth programs. And the millions, actually billions of dollars that's being spent on our young people today, and we're losing them.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, you uncovered three very important points in that chapter of Walking with the Wise, and I'd love for you to speak to all three of them. I'll just list them at first, and you just take them as you feel. Be a good friend, spend time with friends who are wise, and don't have too many friends, which I thought was interesting. So maybe you just jump in there and speak to those.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you this. You know, we tell our kids and we tell everyone that we disciple and mentor that you cannot expect to have friends who meet the criteria of that wisdom if you're not being a good friend. So it always starts with you. Examine your heart. Take a look at what you're doing, you know, in your relationships. Hey, if you want people that don't gossip around you, then you can't be someone who gossips. You know, so you've got to focus in on, hey, let's take the mirror. Let's take a look inside. What is my behavior? Is it consistent with what I would expect from a good friend? And then The second thing is spending time with friends who are wise. And we kind of define, what does it look like to be a wise friend? So the four criteria are this. Do they follow Jesus and are they growing in his ways? Do they do the right thing even when it's hard and regardless of the consequences? Do they make other people around them better? And do they stay close when times are tough? You know, if your friends, your inner circle of friends are doing these things, then they are probably walking in wisdom and they're probably somebody that you want to hang out with.
Jimmy, would you reiterate those for us again?
Yeah, the four criteria for how to determine whether, you know, the friend is who's part of your inner circle is a wise friend is this. Number one is, do they follow Jesus and are they growing in his ways? Mm. Do they do the right thing even when it's hard and regardless of the consequences? Do they make other people around them better? And do they stay close even when times are tough?
Excellent. Those are great. Okay, so what about don't have too many friends? Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, well, let me jump in. This is Dan, and I tell you, that sounds a little harsh, sounds a little cold. You know, it's like, hey, aren't we supposed to have lots of friends? But what we're talking about is those inner circle core friends that suddenly if you let a lot of people into that inner circle, then trust is going to break down, and it's hard to maintain those relationships. And so sometimes someone might go, well, I have 20 best friends. Well, you know, 20 best friends, I doubt if you have 20 best friends. But if you say, hey, I have two or three people that I'm doing life with, that's a whole nother ballgame. So one of the things that we really try to stress is that inner circle, just like Jesus said, Peter, James, and John, we know that there is power when there's a few deep friends that you can do life with.
That's excellent. Hey, if you're just tuning in today, first of all, I'm so thankful that you're with us. We're talking to Jimmy Page and Dan Britton about their great book, Wisdom Walks, and we've got a couple of copies to give away, so we want you to visit our website, faithradionet.com. Go to my show's webpage, leave me a message, comment on this particular show, and we'll give a copy away to the first two people. Otherwise, you can go to my website, susielarson.com, and connect with me by Facebook, Twitter, that way. So let's talk about your next chapter, walkie-talkie, be the person you want others to become. I want to say that again, be the person you want others to become. And then you open that chapter with a great quote, which I tweeted today, Chip Ingram said, God's dream is that Christians would actually live like Christians. Talk about that. Be the person you want others to become.
Well, it's basically out of Romans 12. When you start looking at Romans 12 about do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, is that you yourself need to be a wisdom walker first. Probably our greatest principle that we say that before you can even take a first step, you got to draw a circle around yourself, and you got to get right with Jesus. You got to dive deep yourself. You got to confess sin. You got to, before you even think about trying to impact anyone outside of that circle, that you need to get right yourself. And so we say all the time that will you be the person that you long for other people to become? That if I long for someone to radically get a hold of Christ, well, I already need to be there. I already got to be there and say, man, I already have that longing deep within inside of me. So therefore, it's natural, it's authentic, it's genuine when I suddenly reach out and encourage that person to grow in their faith.
That's excellent. I'm not sure which one of you played the actual walkie-talkie game when you were young, but whichever one did, describe that just as a mother of three boys. I'm so curious because
yeah,
it sounded
well,
like a physical game.
Now that you're getting older, I think it's okay. It was a childhood game that this is Dan, and I got a kick out of it. I don't know. I think it was because I was the baby of the family that it was just a way. It was actually a game way to actually beat up on their baby brother. But we would actually get shoulder to shoulder. And now you look back on it, sounds kind of silly, but it was a pretty crazy game. Shoulder to shoulder, and we would walk side by side, and we'd go walkie-talkie, walkie-talkie. And at any time, you could throw your one leg out and try to trip the other person over your leg and throw them to the ground. And that if you could position yourself and not get tripped, then you would win. But if you threw the person over by surprise while you said this crazy walkie-talkie, walkie-talkie, then you would survive. Well, you know, one time my brother Dave flipped me over, my tooth went into the corner of the cabinet, and there's still a mark today in my mom's cabinet because of it. Thank goodness my tooth stayed in. But That was, I think, the last time we played walkie-talkie.
Well, there is a special place in heaven for the mother of all boys. I will say that. You know, when I was working on the Grateful Kids book, Growing Grateful Kids, and talking about the importance of just engaging with your kids and taking time to play. And I'm writing the book, and I asked my youngest son, Jordan, who's now 20, what was your favorite, you know, playtime? And he surprised me by saying, remember that game when the brothers and I would run across the living room and Dad would try to take us out by gunning a pillow at our feet? That was my favorite game.
I love it.
Had to put a disclaimer. I wouldn't suggest to do this, but in the olden days.
I think you should promote it. I think it's fine.
Yeah, maybe I could patent it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, you know, it's interesting how you talked about when you're growing in wisdom that there are people, I don't remember which one of you wrote this, but that how at times you jealousy will rise up in people around you, and actually people will become competitive with you and actually try to take you out. And that's why you have to walk so carefully. And, you know, the Bible talks about the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And when we start to look out for ourselves, we lose sight of the fear of God. And so to me, becoming the person you want others to be, you don't spend your time posturing, manipulating, comparing.
Yes, I wrote about that because I just see so often that the very thing that you hope that people celebrate, encourage one another along, and spur one another in their faith, actually sometimes people get jealous. And next thing you know, it's kind of like that walkie-talkie. You're in it flying across the room as someone took you out. And it's kind of a spiritual walkie-talkie. And it's not as blatant. It's a little more subtle. But I tell you what, it hurts just as bad.
And you know, Susie, the key to this whole thing, as we become that person, it's a process. And, you know, one of the things that we always say is, hey, be transparent with this inner circle. Be transparent in this process. If I come across as being perfect, first of all, no perfect people should engage in this. There's no such thing as perfection. We're all flawed, and we're all pursuing Jesus. So as that transparency comes across, is I get to reveal to you some of the struggles, some of the failures in my life, and then help you navigate so that you don't necessarily make those same mistakes. And that's the power of passing on wisdom. It's, hey, I've been through this before. I've walked in these shoes. So listen, here's things to avoid. But listen, if you're a perfect person, you probably don't want to do this program.
Well, what about you? Have you encountered someone whom you thought would be jealous or petty with you, but they actually ended up being wise and honorable? I'd love to hear from you. How did it impact you? You can get a hold of me a few different ways. You can call 1-877-933-2484. Press 2 for the Faith Line. Leave me a voicemail message. And give a tribute to somebody who really blessed you by their wisdom, their humility. And we may use that comment on a future show. You can go to our show's webpage, faithradionet.com. Find my show's webpage, Live the Promise, and send me a question, comment. Or finally, you can go to my website, susielarson.com. Okay, so how about you two? How do you keep your heart pure? When, you know, it sounds like you're both athletes, obviously, your association with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I'm an athlete myself, and I have a competitive spirit. I love to get on my bike and ride hard, and if I'm in a cycle class, I want to win the time trial.
Are you a cyclist?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Oh, my gosh. You know, come on.
Come on.
You're speaking my language here.
Sorry. All right. Cool. We'll have to talk off air about that.
That's
but
right,
it just gets
right.
My heart beating so much. And but truly, you know, if you have that in you, what do you do to keep your heart pure? Because you can see how even in your flesh that can spill over into your spiritual walk. And yet really the thriving walk is being dead to our flesh and alive to Christ.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for me, and Dan and I have talked, and there's a chapter in here called Rumble Strips. But the idea is that you will put up boundaries, personal moral standards, in the areas of life that you are most at risk for crashing and burning. So God will have his standards. He puts up guardrails that say, hey, don't go beyond this guardrail, because on the other side of this, if you engage in behavior that's outside of this boundary, you are going to come to personal harm. You're going to come to ruin. You're going to crash and burn. But what we do is we try and set boundaries inside of God's boundaries so that our conscience is warned, you know, that it wakes us up and says, hey, wait a minute. I don't want to get as close as I can to a sinful situation. I want to come back off of that and avoid that altogether. So we put standards up. We put these rumble strips, these warnings in place that prevent us from getting to that point where we're in a situation we can't get out of.
Well, we need to take a short break, but I actually want to have you delve into that more a little bit, Jimmy, because I think that's very important. It makes me think of a scripture from Proverbs that a life without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. And you know how that was in the biblical times, that the wall around the city was its fortification. And if there's a broken down wall, you're exposed to the wiles of the enemy. And so if we don't have certain fortifications or even some self-control, we are setting ourselves up. So I would love for you to talk more about that. We need to take a short break. When we come back, more with Dan Britton and Jimmy Page on their great book, Wisdom Walks. This is Live the Promise, and I'm Susie Larson.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. Faith Radio's mission is to connect faith to life every day. With God's help and yours, Faith Radio provides relevant Bible teaching and family-focused teaching. It's truly our desire to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ, while at the same time helping you go deeper in your faith. If you're not already a member of the monthly support team of Faith Radio, please consider joining. Find out how your gifts can make a difference for Christ at our website, faithradionet.com.
We are back, and we're so glad you tuned in today. Live the Promise with Suzy Larson, talking about a great book, Wisdom Walks, 40 Life Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. And, Jimmy, you were talking before the break about rumble strips, and you're kind of talking about reinforcements in your life and areas that maybe you would stumble and fall, and not so much to go to the edge, but to really establish a boundary that's protective to your life. Talk more about that.
You know, we see this all the time. You know, if you look at the landscape of the Christian world, and even just the regular culture, you know, the common culture, our society, our culture begs us and calls us to go right up to, you know, to engage in sinful behavior. I mean, through the advertising, through television and movies and everything else, it just calls us to the edge. And unfortunately, then if you engage in that behavior, you get wrecked by it, as you should. So, you know, what we try and live by is this idea of establishing boundaries, establishing rumble strips. You know, when you're driving on the highway, you've got rumble strips on the road on either side of you usually, so that if you go outside of the line, if you hit those rumble strips, your car gets jolted and you get woken up real quick. And it's alerting you that if you continue on that path, you're probably going to head into some significant danger. And so what we have advocated for a long time is, hey, let's bring the boundary in. Let's put those rumble strips in our life to keep us on the course of following Christ and being successful in doing that. So let me give you an example. So God's standard, the guardrail, is, you know, don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Be under the influence and control of the Spirit, not alcohol. So that's the standard. So that's the hard guardrail. Now me, in my circumstances, Dan asks this question all the time, is this behavior wise? So in my history, my father was an alcoholic, and so I know that I have this predisposition perhaps to engage in behavior that's going to be self-destructive. So my rumble strip then is I don't drink alcohol. Now, it's a personal standard of behavior that pricks my conscience and warns me that I'm going out of the boundary. So for it's a personal standard. Everyone always says, well, that seems awful legalistic, Jim, you know, and I just say, no, that's called wisdom. It's knowing where to put the boundaries so that you don't crash and burn.
Excellent. And we each have our areas, and we're deceiving ourselves if we don't. Boy, that's great. How about you, Dan? Can you give me an example of how you play this out in your life?
Well, one of the things that I've realized is the key to spending time with God. It's not an option. It's not out of legalism. And I realize that if I'm not getting my face in the book in God's Word, I'm dead meat. I'm just out there. And so I got to pursue God. And for me, it means getting up real early before the kids and the two dogs and the two cats get up. And I get my coffee, and even before I run, I'm an avid runner. I run marathons and got to get my runs in. So I won't even put on my running shoes until I've spent time with God. So I'll get dressed and put my shoes, and this sounds kind of crazy, but it's just my discipline of being able to make sure I'm staying focused. I'll spend my time in God's Word. I'll then put on my shoes and go out. But if I'm not getting God in me, and a concept, one of our chapters is garbage in, garbage out. Guy goes, garbage in and garbage out. If you put garbage in you, garbage is going to come out. If you put God in you, another G instead of the garbage, but you put God in you, then you're going to get God out. So when you get squeezed by the world, because bottom line is not a question of if, it's a question of when. When you get squeezed, what's going to come out? Is garbage going to come out? Is anger, is bitterness, is rage going to come out? Or is the fruit of the Spirit going to come out? Is it going to be love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? And so the thing is I realize for me, I can't afford not to, not because I have to. It's because I love to. I can't wait every single morning getting up and meeting with the God of the universe so I can learn from the Lord himself, so he can instruct me, he can fill me with his presence, and I can go move out and be his instrument for that day. And so that, for me, is a guardrail that I step back and go, you know, I can't, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's some people out there that can spend 5 minutes a day to get the rest of the world out of them, that the world pumps into them during the day. And if they can, I'd love to figure it out. Because I'd be saving a lot of time if it just 5 minutes would combat the 20 hours or 18 hours or 14 hours of the world that pumps into us all day long. So I just say, how much do I need to spend time in God's Word to prevent the world getting into me?
Well, Dan, I'm exactly with you, and that's how I begin my day as well. And hey, if you've just tuned in today, we've had a great, fantastic discussion with two authors, Dan Britton and Jimmy Page, on their book, Wisdom Walks. And we're nearing the end. They're in the last segment here of this conversation. So if you have just tuned in, I really do want you to hear the whole of the show. So you're going to go to faithradionet.com in a couple hours. This show will be up on podcast. And make sure you download it and listen to the whole thing. There's just loads of wisdom and encouragement in this show. So I really want you to hear it. But, you know, it's interesting. Both of you referred to this isn't legalistic. This is something that's coming out of my heart. I noticed that, too. When you take initiative and you start to pursue an earnest walk of faith, there are people that are going to rise up and call you legalistic because they're so uncomfortable with the initiative you're taking that we have to qualify. You know, this isn't an ought to or should do. I see this as a get to. And we have to say that, I guess, because people have their insights that way. But I noticed that, you know, because it should never be an ought to or should do. But there are those of us who are running after the Lord because we want to. We abstain from certain things because we love Him. And isn't that interesting that we all run into that you're going to have the mockers who are accusing, maybe even assigning motives to why you're taking initiative.
Yeah, you know, one of the things we have in there is one of our wisdom walks is the three D's of devotions. And my dad passed away a couple years ago from leukemia, and he was a phenomenal man of God who lived well and ended well. But he would always say, hey, Danny, because he got away with calling me Danny. He said, Danny, the three D's are so important. He says, at first, when you engage God and pursue God, it might feel like drudgery. And it might be tough, and it's hard, and you don't want to, but you know it's good for you. And it starts as a drudgery. If you do it long enough with the right heart, it turns into a discipline, and it's a got to do it. And the discipline's great. And drudgery and discipline will get you eventually to the third D, and that's delight. Mm. That you delight in the Lord, that you cannot wait to be able to engage God and pursue God, and that's when the love aspect kicks in.
That is absolutely profound. I want our listeners to hear that again, because you often hear, well, I don't feel anything. And so we give up so quickly. And imagine what that does for the heart of God. And we need to press through our stuff. So list those three again, if you would, Dan.
Yeah, the three D's are first drudgery, then it's discipline, and then it's delight. And I tell you, when you get to the delight stage, there's no turning back. You're just loving than time with Jesus, and you couldn't even think of anything else but that.
I agree. That is the best part of my day, and I think it was Martin Luther who said, I have so much to do today, I'm going to spend an extra hour in prayer. And the longer that I can camp in God's presence, the happier I am, and actually the more productive I am, the more I get done in a day.
Yeah, and one of the things that I found to really keep that fresh is to have flexibility with the time.
That's,
you know,
right.
We have access by the iPod, the iTunes. You know, we can hear from the best teachers around the world on a daily basis. There are podcasts everywhere. We can read the Word. We can, you know, read a devotion book. We can do wisdom walks. There's so many different things. We can listen to praise and worship songs. You know, there is an unlimited number of ways that you can encounter God in that morning to keep it fresh so that it doesn't become something that's so hyper-disciplined or structured that it takes the joy out of it. Hey, you can just go and say, Lord, today, how do you want me to encounter you? Mm. You know, let's open the Word. Let's start there, and let's, you know, get into prayer and reveal things to me that need to change in my life. But there's great flexibility in that time. But part of it is you just got to show up. You got to get there.
And, you know, really, that's such a good point, that we can't really allow it to become rote any more than we can allow, if we're married, our marriage to become rote. You have to be creative. And my husband teases me all the time. He's 6'3", 245 pounds. I'm 5'2", and I carry three big Bibles out, two thick devotionals, two thick commentaries, my journal, and a couple other devotionals. And I spread them all around me, and I prop up my iPhone. I have a devotional playlist. And then I just wait on God and just see what I'm going to do that day. And it is just the greatest delight of my life.
Yeah, it gives you great freedom, doesn't it? And I think, you know, the picture, you know, don't you think that's what Jesus did? He just kind of waited and you know, and just sat at the feet of his Father and said, what today? what today.
That's so great. Well, you referenced the verse in the Geigo chapter, Garbage In, Garbage Out, Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. And I once did a word study on that particular verse, and the word guard translated into a masculine stance, but it, of course, it applies to men and women. It's for both of us, but the stance is one of a man protecting his home against intruders, and it's a defensive stance saying, you know, that there's a impending danger and I'm standing at guard to protect my home, my land, and my family. And how casual we get, as you said in the beginning of the show, we are onslaughted by so many contrary messages from the gospel, and yet how few people really have a defensive stance to really, really protect what's going in to their spirits.
Yeah.
Speak to that.
Well, we think this life is a game, and we bought into this kind of a casual, convenient, comfortable American dream. I mean, we really have. We've all, in many ways, bought into the culture. And we don't realize that the real battle is a spiritual battle and that it's dangerous and that God is calling us to take up arms. And if we're not diligently protecting, this is a great example. You know, I would never reach into the garbage can and pull out old food and garbage from dinner and put it on a plate and serve it to my kids and expect them to eat that and be healthy. No more so than I would say, hey, engage in, you can watch any movie you want. I don't care if they, you know, what the language is or the violence or whatever it is. Hey, it's harmless. Just engage in that and you're going to have healthy thinking. It's impossible. And, you know, we always say, like you said, it's a war. It's a battleground. And we've got to be diligent at protecting our heart, the images that come in through our eyes, the music or things that we listen to. All of those things affect our overall health.
Boy, and that's just a great place for us to wrap up. This has been such a great talk, you guys. And if you want to learn more about their ministry, you can go to wisdomwalks.org. So, Dan, Jimmy, I'd like actually both of you to pray. We like to begin the show with scripture and end with prayer. And so could we just take our last 2 minutes and each of you just say a prayer, and we'll close it out that way.
Lord God, I thank you so much for the opportunity that you give to us. You entrust to us. You don't need us, Lord, to do your work, but Lord, you come alongside of us. You include us because you love us so much. We're your children, and you desire as your Father's heart to release us to do an incredible amount of impact and bring transformation and see transformation as we go shoulder to shoulder with people. So Father God, I ask you that whoever's listening to this show, whoever's listening to this on podcast, God, I pray that you instill into them a seed of greatness, a seed of destiny, a seed of purpose that allow them to be able to step out and be able to invest into others. God, I pray that we will not be complacent. Lord, I pray that we will not be passive. God, allow us to engage others. God, allow us to engage you. And Father God, I pray that there are times with you be rich and full and meaningful, that they won't be drudgery, it won't even be discipline, but God, that it will be truly a delight to spend with you. God, I pray that others will become wisdom walkers as they step and move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord, and we just are thankful that you do desire to fill us and influence us and control us with your Holy Spirit, that our life might bear fruit, Lord God. And I just pray that you would start to move in the hearts of the listeners, Lord, to engage in relationships that you have already put in place in their life, and that you would give them a desire to be a person of influence, to be different themselves so that they can be difference makers, Lord. And we just pray that you would use this tool of Wisdom Walks, Lord, as a catalyst for real life change, for true life change, and that this movement would sweep through our communities, that we would start to engage in relationships that push people to grow in their faith and to be difference makers.
Father, Lord, and I just want to add, Lord, forgive us, God, for the countless times we've opted the passive route. I pray that you would engage your church, that you would breathe life on us, and that we would be a mobilized people. I pray for Dan and Jimmy, Lord, that you would bless the work of their hands and that this book would go far and wide to engage your church in the kingdom work before us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Boy, you guys, this was fabulous. I just can't thank you enough. It was great.
You're awesome.
Oh, this was a great discussion. I'm so glad you joined us today. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Tune in again next Saturday. Have a great day.